Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome back to day number 4. And again, congratulations on your continued commitment to follow through. I'm excited because today we go into phase 2. Up until now, we've been preparing to create the change, preparing you mentally and emotionally and giving you the strategies that we're going to utilize. Today, we're going to start really making some of those changes, and we're going to start with your physical body, and we're going to look specifically at those elements that affect your energy level. Now, you might say, Tony, well, I'm not here to work on my energy. I want to lose some weight. That is the biggest mistake that people make who want to become physically vital, who want to have the body they deserve. Your body is only going to be in the position you want it to be long-term if it's healthy. It's only healthy if it's got energy. So the first thing people invariably will say to me is, well, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds. And again, as I already said to you earlier, my first question is 10 pounds of what? You know, we don't want to lose muscle. We don't want to lose water. We want to lose what? Fat. We want to get rid of excess fat. But specifically, when they tell me this, I ask them, well, how do you think you should go about doing it? Invariably, what they say is, I know I should go on a diet. Diets don't work. We all know this. We've all experienced it. A diet is a temporary approach. It is not a lifestyle. And as such, it induces pain. Often it requires some starvation. And often it triggers the body to lower its metabolism and get you better at storing fat when you finally start eating again. When you finally come off this painful regimen, which you can't survive on for the rest of your life, your body now is hypersensitive to storing fat because it says, you know what, I may starve again, so I better hang on to this stuff even better. That is a scary place to be. And by the way, the word diet, look at the first three letters in the word. That'll tell you how most people feel when they think they're going to go on one of these things. Die. That's not what you want to do. Instead, we've got to have an intelligent approach to being more healthy. Now, I have an entire audio program called Living Health, and I'm just trying to sell it to you, but I strongly suggest you get it because it'll show you not just about weight loss. It'll show you that too, but it'll show you the specific things you can do to increase your vitality. This program is about weight loss, but we can't separate health from weight loss when we'd be doing you more harm than good. So I've got to touch on a few of these at least briefly and hopefully trigger you to use a few of them that can make a difference in your life. Now, here's the first key. What you eat is not the number one key to your level of weight. You say, wait a second. What? Of course what I eat is. No, wrong. What affects you most is metabolism. What affects your metabolism are many things. But let me tell you this. For your body to be fit and healthy, you have to be able to take in various items, and you've got to be able to either digest these items and assimilate them or eliminate them. Everything that comes into your system must be assimilated or eliminated. If you live a lifestyle where you do not have enough energy to eliminate the body's toxins, the things you're taking in that you can't utilize, as fast as you're taking them in, you're going to have dis-ease built up in your body. You're going to have lowered energy, and your body's going to retain water, as one example, to protect you from the extra toxicity in your system. Did you follow that in that two-second conversation? Maybe not, but I think you got a little sense of what the heck I'm talking about. So what do you need to do to make sure you're vital? Well, think of this. What determines your level of health? What determines your level of vitality? What determines your energy? What determines whether you look good or not? Everything in your body is made up of one building block. What's it called? A cell. You have 75 trillion cells in your body, and they are all working hard to create energy and keep you alive and vital. Now, anything you do that injures a cell, anything you do that lowers its energy level, its efficiency level, is going to cause dis-ease to your system. And eventually, one of the symptoms of dis-ease is excess body weight. The most important way to make sure that those cells are alive is to provide them with a nutrient they need. You know what that nutrient is? It is not food. It is oxygen. Oxygen is the single most important element that you can have to be vitally alive and thin. Most people go and eat very often, especially those who overeat, to try and get more oxygen. You say, what are you talking about, Robbins? You're crazy. No, no. When you overeat, what happens? Most people overeat. They do it as a way to change their emotional state. They're a little bit frustrated. They're stressed. Or they're thinking about all these other things, and they go eat food to get unconscious. The reason they want to get unconscious is because they're so stressed that they don't breathe when they're stressed. Have you ever noticed that? When you're really stressed, you're breathing. Many times people hold their breath. Well, you know, not breathing tends to make you a little more stressed, don't you think? The bottom line is, when you eat a lot of food, the food goes in your stomach, all the blood rushes in there, your body slows down, you begin to breathe differently, you begin to relax. You know what? Just breathe. Forget the food in those situations, except where you really need it. Plus, it gives you energy. I'm sure you've seen somebody, or I'm sure you yourself have had the experience of being really hungry, and then something happened that got you real excited, or maybe you went and worked out. When you're done working out, you're not as starved. Why? Because when you're working out, your body, if you do it properly at least, your body is getting the oxygen it's really craving. It craves oxygen more than anything else. If you decide now to develop a couple of simple habits I'm going to give you in this tape, you'll get addicted to oxygen instead of food. We used to reach for something to stick in your mouth. You'll take a deep breath. And you know what? It won't be an empty breath. It'll be a breath that gives you vitality, aliveness, energy. You'll feel a sense of fulfillment you're not getting from the food right now that you're jamming in there sometimes, or the foods you're putting in that you know are not helping you. Now, what I should tell you before I go any further is I'm going to give you what I call the 10 principles of living health. Principle number one that you're going to apply in your life starting today, starting right now, I call the power of breath. And it simply is understanding that everything in your body is run by oxygen. Oxygen is the fuel that feeds trillions of cellular fires in your body. And out of them, ATP is generated. ATP is the basis of all energy in your body. It's the basis of your ability to be alive. Now, again, if you want to know more about ATP, how do you generate more, how much is in your body, that's in Living Health. But for right now, just understand that oxygen is the key to your health, and it's also the key to changing your metabolism. Most people are oxygen starved at some level. Now, besides giving your body the oxygen it needs, the power of breath does something else. Every moment you're alive, wham, as fast as I snap my fingers, there went 7 billion liver cells. They're gone. Now, what's exciting is, just as fast as I snap my fingers, 7 billion new ones were created. Slight problem. The 7 billion that are now destroyed, they're toxic. They don't belong in your system. They're dead cells. Body says, no problem. I know how to eliminate those. I have a whole set of systems to eliminate toxicity from the system. But if your energy is low, because you're not taking care of yourself, because you're overeating, the body's using energy constantly trying to deal with the digestion of food, a lot of this poison will build up in your system. Now, when you get more poison in your system, your body retains more water to protect itself, to try and cleanse the system of this. You got excess weight, and as you have excess weight, excess water, what happens when there's more water in between the same cellular space? There's less oxygen, less energy, and you get in this downward spiral. But pretty soon, you don't have the vitality or the energy or the looks or the body you deserve. How do we break out? Well, your body has a system for cleansing. It's called the lymph system. In fact, in your body, you have more lymph in your body than you have blood. The lymph system is very different, though, than the heart. It's like the detoxification center. It's like the sewage system of your body. The blood is pumped by the heart. The lymph system has no pump. So the only way the lymph system cleanses your system is through movement. Now, Dr. Jack Shields, who's a lymphologist from Santa Barbara, several years ago did intensive studies on how to stimulate the lymph system within human beings. He literally put cameras down into people's bodies and had them do all kinds of things. Had them laugh, had them shout, had them move, had them do a variety of exercises and some movements to find out what would stimulate your body to cleanse itself most rapidly. Because if you, for example, didn't move at all, and you didn't produce any stimulation for your lymph system, the toxicity would build up in your body till you died. In fact, in the American Indian culture, there are various tribes when a person becomes extremely old and they think they were holding the tribe back or they no longer need to be alive, they would go and tie their hands above their head and go to sleep in that standing position. And you know what? Their body would have no way to stimulate the lymph in that particular position, and they would die within a day to 2 days. The toxicity would take over in their system. It's very potent. So we've got to move. Think about it. The greatest sign of life is movement. But what he wanted to know, he meaning Dr. Jack Shields, was what could stimulate this most rapidly. What he found was the most potent way to create a change in your immune system was deep diaphragmatic breathing. That's breathing right down here from your abdomen all the way up. What he did is he photographed the insides of people's bodies, the lymph system, while these breaths were taken. What he found was that the lymph flow was multiplied by 10 to 15 times its normal rate with a diaphragmatic breath. Just imagine what it would be like if you could stimulate your lymph system to constantly cleanse the system, provide enough oxygen so your entire system was working at its optimal level. And you know what? It's so easy. So what we want to do is 3 times a day, you want to do this. You want to take 10 deep diaphragmatic breaths. And by the way, there's a specific ratio of the breath. You're going to take in the ratio of 1, you're going to hold for 4, and you're going to exhale for 2. Now, what the heck does this mean? Well, let's say you took a deep breath in, starting in your abdomen, extending it out, pulling it all the way up into your chest, up to 10 as an example. You would then hold for 40, and then exhale for 20. Why? This particular pattern of breath done 10 times is very, very potent for stimulating the lymph system. But what does it do? You're taking breath in to create oxygen. You're keeping it there so the body fully oxygenates. You're then exhaling twice as much as you took in, and the reason for that is your expiration is eliminating toxins from your system. Now, if you'll do this, and by the way, the number 10, 40, and 20 may be too much for you. In your current physical shape, maybe you can only do 7, in which case, how long would you hold for? 28. What would you exhale for? 14 or 5. Hold for 20. Exhale 10. Whatever it is, do not push yourself to the point where you're extremely uncomfortable. Build up, be intelligent, be healthy. If you need to, talk to your doctor about what you're capable of, but you know inside. Be careful and be smart. Take the breath in, inhale. In fact, let's try one right now so we don't just talk about it. Let's do it. And I'll pick a number that I think most people can do. So we're going to inhale up to 7, hold for 28, and exhale for 14. And again, if we get to the point where, you know, you just feel like you can't do it anymore, certainly don't put yourself anywhere and you're passing out or anything like that, but do stretch yourself a little bit. Okay, here we go. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Keep exhaling. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Deep breath in. Inhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Deep breath in. Enjoy it. Let it out slowly. Now, you can pause between each one of these. I did 2 in a row, but you want to do 10 of these. Now, do you feel a change in your state? If you did it right, I can promise you there's a change. Now, that may not be long enough for you. Maybe you have to go to 10, then 40, and 20, or maybe you got to do less. Again, be appropriate. But these breaths, 10 of them, 3 times a day, when you first wake up in the morning, right before you eat lunch, and right before you have dinner. And what you'll find is if you'll do it in these 3 times, it'll just become a great habit for you, and it'll also affect the way that you eat, and most importantly, it'll give you more vitality and energy while you cleanse your system and stimulate your lymph system. So that's key number 1, and I can't spend as much time on each one of these, or this tape will be a real long tape. Again, if you want more details or if you want some of the additional distinctions, I highly encourage you to get the Living Health Program. Again, not just trying to sell you a program, but these principles are critical to your life. Make sure you make them available to yourself. So let's move on now to principle number 2 of Living Health. I call it the gift of living waters. And by the way, I've broken these 10 principles up into 6 gifts to give yourself. Nobody wants to take stuff away. We want to give things. And if you notice so far, we've given you something. Giving yourself more breath is a great way to make sure that you get the body you deserve. Second way is to give yourself living waters every day. Think about it for a second. How long can you go without food? You can go without food for months if you had to survive. How long can you go without air? About 4 minutes, right? How long can you go without water? Not even 4 days. The bottom line is, other than oxygen, the second most vital element you need to develop the body you deserve is plenty of fluid. Now, you know what's crazy? Most people want to lose weight. The first thing they try to do is get rid of all the fluid in their body. They go out and take a bunch of diuretics. And they go, oh, look it out, check out, look at this little scale. I weigh less. Isn't that great? I don't look so puffy. Yeah, you don't look so puffy, but you're unhealthy. All of a sudden, you don't have the energy that you need in your system. Your body needs water more than anything except air. In fact, most of your body is water. 70% of this earth is covered in what? Water. 80% of your body is made up of what? Water. What do you think a large percentage of your diet should have within it? Living water. Most people eat food that's totally denatured of any form of water. It's been stripped out, cooked out, processed out. And when they drink water that's been polluted, or water that's been polluted by chemicals to try and deal with the pollution we put into it. Some of the most important water that your body can receive is the water that can be contained in the living things that you consume. But most people don't consume living things anymore. And by the way, I want you to think about this. Water is the essential and major component of all living matter. If you have some watermelon, it's not too hard to figure out what the number one component is. If you have a broccoli stalk or some celery or anything, vegetable or fruit, you're going to find that these things are filled with living water, water that the plant has filtered and that is filled with the nutrients your body needs. And just regular drinking water is critical for us as well. But again, if we can get it in its filtered form with the vitamins and nutrients built within it, this is critical water that our body needs. Water is a universal solvent. It participates actively in most of the reactions that go between all the cells of your body. And you know something? You can lose 50% of the glucose in your body and be okay. 50% of the fat in your body and be okay. You can lose 50% of all your protein and you can survive. But if you even lose 20% of your water, you'll die. Water is the key component to energy, to cleansing your system, and to being vital. You do not, under any circumstances, want to take some diet pill or some diuretic or anything that's going to try and get you to lose more water. That is not your goal. Your goal is to get rid of excess fat. Don't delude yourself by water loss. That's why we're not going to try and slam you into something here. We're going to take it a step at a time and make you healthier along the way. Now, you know what? Most of the time when I do a living health program, I'll have people write down every single thing that passes their lips for 24 hours. But you know what? You've been doing this for 4 days, or at least three, right? So I want you to look at your lists. Go ahead and open your notebook, and let's look through the list of all the things. And by the way, I hope you wrote everything down. Like, if you drank beer or alcohol of any form, I hope you wrote it down. Coffee, that should go in that list. You know, if you smoked a cigarette, that goes in there. It's anything that passed your lips in those last 3 days or so. Take a look at it, and here's what I want you to do. Pick a typical day, and I want you to circle everything on your list that still has all of its live water still in it. So if you drank water, you can circle that, obviously. But the only other thing I want you to count is live foods. That means fresh vegetables or fruits or their juices, because nothing else has it. You're not going to find fresh living water in a piece of dead meat. Okay, so what is the real water? Live water. Something that's still alive and vital. Something that can give you what you need from that perspective. Okay, go ahead and do that right now. And by the way, do not count coffee, do not count beer, or any form of alcohol as a form of water, because as you'll find out, your body has a very difficult time dealing with fermentation. It's no longer living water for you. So go ahead, circle the group, turn up the tape, and come back to me. Okay, welcome back. Now, my question for you is this. What percentage of your diet is very rich in water? Water-rich foods, what percentage? Is it 90% of your diet? Like 90% of your diet is fruit and vegetables? Is it 70%? Is it 60%? 30%? Or less than 15%? Most of the people that I meet, and even in today's society, we're starting to push salads even at McDonald's. What a concept. We still see that most people in our society are well below the 25 to 30% range of water content. In fact, a good number of Americans, the majority of Americans, are in the 15% range. Let me just tell you something. In fact, you might want to write this down and put it on a card above your kitchen or above where you normally go eat, or maybe even your car. Write down, 15% water content is called suicide. Let me tell you something. If that's all the fresh, live water you're getting in your system, you're going to get clogged and you're going to have problems. One of the first things you might want to start asking yourself whenever you look at a food you're about to eat is ask yourself, is this going to clog me or is this going to cleanse me? See, you look at that big fat pizza that looks so cool, and you think about that, and then you look at that piece of watermelon, you ask yourself, is this going to clog me or cleanse me? You're going to get a different answer. And I can promise you, I was totally addicted to pizza. I never thought I'd not eat pizza. I mean, what, are you crazy? But you know what? When I started making changes in my life, and I rid myself of some of these things, I'm not telling you it was easy. It was tough in the beginning, but I was so committed. I had so much leverage on myself to change that I followed through. And once I followed through, I had so much more energy and vitality, I'd never gone back. I'd never even attempted to go back. So you need to make sure that your diet is at least 70% water content foods. That is principle number two. The gift of living water says at least 70% of my diet is water content nature, water rich, live waters, i.e., you never go to a meal now where you don't have a salad first. That salad is going to help your body to cleanse itself. That salad will take the edge off your appetite so you don't overeat on those real concentrated foods that have very little water and are more difficult for the body to digest and require more energy. So 70% water content. And by the way, what I'm really giving you here is a 10-day challenge. I'm suggesting to you that for the next 10 days, you're going to start every morning with those 10 deep breaths in the ratio of 1-4-2. You're going to do it just before lunch or just in the middle of the day. You could be at work. You don't have to wait till you're going to eat. You can do it any time. And then once in the evening, ideally right before you have dinner. Now, if you do that, and then you follow up with 70% water content, you just did those two things alone, I promise you there'll be a definitive difference in the cleansing of your system, of the energy of your body, and therefore, quickly, the body's shape, tone, and strength. That means you'll be on track for moving towards the body you deserve, not just for this week or for this upcoming party or whatever it is, but for life. Let's go to principle number three. Principle number three we're going to talk about in detail tomorrow. In fact, the whole subject of tomorrow is principle number three, so I'm just going to mention it. Principle three is called give yourself the gift of aerobic power. Now, what is aerobic power? Well, aerobic literally means with oxygen. So when you are giving yourself more oxygen, your body's going to work more efficiently, you're going to have more energy, and you're going to start developing the body you deserve. Remember, your body is only as good looking as it is strong and healthy. And the level of strength and health that it has is directly related to the amount and quality of oxygen that the cells are getting. That is the fundamental basic key to your vitality. So what we have to do is move our bodies in ways where we are literally working with oxygen instead of against it. Against it would be anaerobic exercise. Now, anaerobic exercise has its place, but there's a very big difference between being fit and being healthy. We'll talk more about this tomorrow in detail, but just to give you a little clue, there are a lot of people that are very fit that are unhealthy. But what your goal is to be healthy first. If you get healthy and you do that first, I promise you the weight will drop off. It may not come off as fast as some fad diet where you can knock 10 pounds off immediately, but what's 10 pounds of what? It's 10 pounds of that thing you need to keep, vital water. Now, it's true when you start being more healthy and you cleanse your system, your body will retain less water, but you still need water for your system. So how does that tie into aerobic? Real simple. Most people exercise when they finally do in a way that creates a lot of pain in their body. It's why they don't keep exercising, because exercise is a painful experience for them. The reason it's painful is they're not getting enough oxygen while they're exercising. They're pushing themselves behind that philosophy that says no pain, no gain. That is not true. In fact, you got too much pain that I tell you that you're not gaining. What you're gaining is strength, fitness, but you're losing some of your health. I hope I've hooked you enough to listen tomorrow in detail. I don't want to say much more about this, except there are people out there, guys like Jim Fix, who wrote a book on running, two of the most successful books of their type that have ever been written, and he died of a heart attack on the run. See, your goal is not to be fit and dead. Your goal is to be healthy. And part of that is making sure you know how to move your body, how to exercise without pain, with tons of pleasure, because then you'll really do it on a regular basis. Very few people will exercise continuously, a small percentage of the population, when it's painful. Most of us are avoiding pain at all costs. So I want to show you a way tomorrow to be able to exercise without pain, with maximum joy, in a way that will immediately change your metabolism and help you to start burning fat. Know that this is principle number three, gift number three, the gift you want to give yourself daily, the gift of aerobic power. So now let's move on to principle number four, gift number four that you want to give yourself daily, the gift of maximum nourishment. Now, what do I mean by this? First of all, we all realize that if we're not getting the proper kind of nourishment to our cells, we're not going to have energy. We're not going to have vitality. We're not only not going to look good, but we're not going to feel good. How do we make sure we're getting that? First, we have to understand that every single thing that we ingest into our system has to be dealt with in one of two ways. Either it has to be assimilated or it has to be eliminated. These two processes are happening every single time you ingest anything. I don't care whether it's a liquid or a solid food. The body must deal with it. Now, here's the challenge. Before you can assimilate something, you've got to digest it. You've got to be able to break it down before the body can begin to assimilate it. And that's the process that is necessary for our body to ever be in a position to actually get some nutrition from our food and therefore get the vitality and energy that we're pursuing. Now, here's the problem. The problem is we have habitual ways of eating that we've learned culturally that do not support our bodies in extracting the nutrition that they need. And the challenging thing is that most of us have never, ever taken the time to really make a science of studying how to eat for maximum nutrition. We just slam in whatever we're given or whatever we like or whatever we've been taught to enjoy throughout our lifetimes. One of the challenges we see in our culture is we see people that are underweight, who are undernourished, or we see people that are overweight and undernourished. They are not getting the nourishment, the nutrients that they need. Why? Specifically because they are violating their body's capabilities when it comes to digestion. Most human beings have never studied the digestive powers. They don't know the limits of their digestive powers. They don't know the limits of their alimentary organs. They don't even know how the system works. They just jam something in and hope it all works out for the best. Let me tell you something. If you want to change the quality of your life forever, the most important thing you can do, besides breathing and doing that effectively so you get the oxygen, giving yourself enough living water so your body's able to cleanse and be vital, making sure you're exercising in an aerobic fashion so you got oxygen, is to make sure that what you're eating, you're getting the maximum use out of. Now, that comes down to understanding what you're eating. For example, certain foods, there's very little nutritional quality. So obviously, if you're going to take in a candy bar, what's going to happen is your body's going to have to spend most of its time reacting to the candy bar, keeping your blood sugar in balance, and trying to eliminate the chemicals that are in your system that the body cannot assimilate. All this requires energy. Energy you could be using for your business or for your creativity or to invest in your children or in lovemaking, for that matter. Something worthwhile instead of just sitting around digesting something, draining yourself because you don't understand what you're doing to your body. Now, it goes beyond just candy bars or eating things that you know tax your system. Sometimes eating good foods tax your system simply because you don't understand the impact of having different types of foods in your body at the same time. What am I speaking about? What I'm alluding to is the principle of proper food combining. Now, you may have heard of proper food combining because it became very popularized by two good friends of mine, Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, in a book called Fit for Life. But as they noted in their book, and as I've taught for more than 10 years now, proper food combining has been substantiated by science for more than 100 years. Some good foods combined in the stomach at the same time are not complementary, but instead require our body to use more nerve energy, as I said, and can actually cause our food to take much longer to digest and actually putrefy or ferment. What the heck am I talking about here? Let's be more clear. Specifically, science has shown that different types of foods require different types of digestive enzymes in order for them to be broken down, for you to digest them and then eventually be able to assimilate them. For example, when you eat a starchy carbohydrate, let's say something like some bread or let's say a potato, for example, the first stage of digestion for this type of food, again, for a starchy carbohydrate, begins in the mouth. As you begin to masticate it in your saliva, there's an enzyme that is emitted, and that enzyme is called ptyalin. Ptyalin is an alkaline-based digestive enzyme. Now, here's what's interesting. Conversely, when you eat a protein, let's say, you know, a piece of meat as an example, the primary first stage of digestion is occurring in the stomach, and that element of digestion is broken down by an enzyme known as pepsin. Pepsin is an acid-based digestive juice. Now, what happens when acid and alkaline mix? You guessed it. They neutralize one another. Now, if the digestive juices that are necessary to help you digest your food have been neutralized, what do you think happens? Well, the first thing that happens is the food just sits there. The body recognizes we got a problem, and it secretes more digestive juices, which again do what? Neutralize. This process happens again and again. What occurs as a result of this are several challenges. Number one, you don't digest the food in a timely fashion. As a result, the carbohydrates begin to ferment and the proteins can begin to putrefy. Putrefaction and fermentation are difficult for the body to be able to assimilate. In fact, what it has to do is eliminate them. In addition, what's happening during this time is your body's having to use more and more nerve energy to secrete more and more digestive juice. This is draining your general energy level that, again, you could be using for all the more important areas of your life. So you're lowering your energy, you're not getting the nutrition you need, and you're adding poisons to the system, things the body has got to be able to eliminate, all because you don't understand how your body works, because no one ever taught us, because what do? What does the average person usually eat? They usually eat combinations like this, meat and potatoes. Think about it. What is that? Protein and a starch. Or they have fish and rice, or fish and chips, or chicken and dumplings, or burger and fries. I mean, think about this, what we're doing to our system continuously. And then we wonder why we have a hard time waking up and having any energy. Come on, let me ask you an honest question. After waking up, let's say you slept a good 6 hours, maybe even 7, are you tired in the morning when you wake up? If you're tired after 6 or 7 hours, or maybe even 8 hours, why would you possibly be tired after all that sleep? There's only one major reason. The major reason is because your mind's been sleeping all night, but your body's been working full out. Because when you miscombine your foods, digestion can take 8, 10, 12, 14 hours or more. I mean, it's insane. Most people don't want to go out and work out for 12 hours. Why would you work out your digestive system for that long? All you're doing is keeping yourself out of having energy, and you wake up in the morning, you're not recharged. I can tell you the number one thing you'll notice when you start properly combining your foods, which, by the way, I'm going to explain how to do in a moment, so don't panic. And it doesn't mean give up all the foods I just mentioned. It just means respecting the limitations of your digestive organs. It means not consuming foods at the same meal that you know are antagonistic to one another in terms of digestion. Let me get back to my original point, though, just for a second here. The first thing you're going to notice when you start combining your foods is you're going to have so much more energy. See, I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I've heard about that food combining, and I've heard my doctor say it doesn't have any basis in reality. Listen, if you want more details, get my Living Health program. In the manual, I describe the exact digestive process with all the scientific terms word for word. I just want you to know this is not some fad diet cooked up by some wacko who said, here's this neat idea I got. Let's only eat one kind of food here. This is something that's been documented by science for almost 100 years. In fact, the first person to document the power of food combining, that is that different foods require different digestive juices and didn't break down properly if they were in the stomach at the same time, was a gentleman by the name of Ivan Pavlov, the very guy who taught us about conditioning. You know, the guy with the dogs and the bells. He was actually studying the digestive process within animals. And you know what? This has been studied now within human beings. Individuals literally who, for example, one man had his stomach shot out, and they put a window and visually studied what was going on in his stomach while he digested foods. It's very intense, as you can imagine. But the point of the matter is, Pavlov's most brilliant work was a book he wrote called The Workings of the Digestive Glands, in which he described the entire process of food combining and its necessity for good health. He also noted that animals in the wild tend to eat one type of food at a time. They don't go out and have a burger and fries and then have a milkshake with it, right? They go out and eat nuts, or they go out and eat a deer, or they go out and eat whatever it is they're eating, but they have one type of thing. They don't have their deer and they have a baked potato with their deer. The bottom line is, you got to be smart. And in the wild, they don't have some of the same challenges. Now I'm getting a little crazy and outrageous. Let's get back to science here. Dr. Philip Norman, MD, he was the adjunct professor of stomatology and the lecturer in gastroenterology at New York Polyclinic Medical School and at New York Hospital. Here's what he said, quote, Pavlov has conclusively demonstrated that each kind of food provokes a specific, definite type of gastric and intestinal secretion. Because the presence of these concentrated foods calls for antagonistic chemical processes at the same time, it is a physical and chemical impossibility for the digestive glands to function properly as they are subject to definite physiological laws. Now, you say, well, Tony, what's left? I can't have my meat and potatoes? I can't have my burger and fries? No. All it means is be smart. Recognize how your body works and respect it. If you want to have, for example, your meat and potato, have just the potato with a big salad. The salad will digest in any of these mediums. It'll help cleanse your system because it's high in water content and you're only having one concentrated food. By definition, a concentrated food is one that is lower in water content. Obviously, the steak is more concentrated than a piece of watermelon. So what you want to do if you want to have the meat is have a big salad and have your meat with it. But don't have the meat and the potato together in the same meal because your body's not going to break it down. Now, I know what's probably happening in your head. You're going, this is cocky, man. This is crazy. I can't turn my life upside down like this. You know what? You can't afford to be doing what you're already doing to your system. You wouldn't be listening to this tape right now unless what you already were doing wasn't working and you knew it. Knew it enough that you were committed to do something about it. This is real and it works. It'll give you more energy and it'll allow you to get the maximum nourishment you need from your food. A lot of people are starving. They're always overeating because they're eating lots of food, but they're not able to absorb very much nutrition. So their body is screaming out for more. So you put more and more in and you make your body work harder and harder to break things down, all because it's not being broken down properly in the first place. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that proper food combining has got to be a way of life for you. And you know what? It's simple. You can do it anywhere, in any restaurant, anywhere you go. All it suggests is this. Eat one concentrated food at a meal at a time. That is, if you're going to have a meal and you want that steak and potato, again, pick one of those. Pick either the steak or the potato. Have two potatoes and a big salad, some non-starchy vegetables, maybe some broccoli, something else that, you know what, your body can easily digest.